Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. How do people get started? Where do they get stuck? Does their family really follow along when they want to get organized? Wouldn't you love to peek behind the curtain and see how other people in the 100-day program are actually getting their home organized? Well, that's what we're going to be doing from now on the Wednesday new Organize 365 podcast. I would love to introduce you to your fellow Organize 365 members that are on this home organization journey with you. Let's see how they have gone from disorganized to organized. Melissa, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Thank you for having me.
I'm super excited to talk about your story. And at the end, we're going to have a little cameo appearance of your kids. I think if we could talk them into it, they're busy doing schoolwork, right?
Yes, they are.
But how did you originally find Organize 365?
My kids were in fifth grade, I think, and they were doing safety patrol. And I was sitting outside in my car watching them do safety patrol outside of their school. And I always went in and volunteered in their school for like about 2 hours every morning. So I was sitting and waiting, watching them. And I was like, I'd never listened to a podcast before, really. And so I was like, maybe I should try this podcast thing. And so I started searching. I was like, what do I want to listen to? And I thought, okay, organizing, you know, I'm always looking for organizing tips. And came across yours. And I think the Sunday basket one was the first one I came across, and I was listening to it and I was like, okay, this is, you know, I had this picture of this woven basket in my head, and I was, I just kept listening and listening to the next one. And I just kept going. Then I was listening to you in my car and everywhere I went. And when the kids weren't home, when they were at school and I was at home, it was playing. And then went on to the other, podcasts. And just kind of got hooked. I mean, like, it was December of 2018, and I think I went all access probably like a week or so later.
You know what I love about podcasts, or just audio listening in general, audiobooks, podcasts, AM radio, any of that kind of stuff, is it is like reading a book. Like, you yes. get to make the picture in your head of what the person is talking about. And for organizing, I think that is so much better than the HGTV shows or the Netflix series. Like, when you're listening to someone talk about organizing a space, but you're looking at somebody else's space, you immediately think, oh, I can't afford that, or my space isn't that nice, or oh, it's going to take so much time or cost so much money. But when you're listening to a podcast or an audiobook or even reading a book about organizing, you're allowed to think about those concepts inside of your own space and your own home versus the picture that you're seeing in a magazine or on Pinterest or in some YouTube video.
Yes, absolutely. And my biggest regret was that it wasn't available, or not really regret because it wasn't available, but if it was available when my twins were little, yeah. it would have been even better. But I'm glad that I found it whenever I did.
So you were searching organizing. So before 2018, you must have been interested in organizing. Are you naturally organized? Is it just a curiosity you've had?
In my brain, I'm very organized. Mm-hmm. I found out during the, COVID that I love logistics. I like to see, like, if somebody gets sick, I want to see what's the protocol, what's going to happen, what happens to their family. I want to know all those things. And I did my bachelor's degree is in kinesiology with a focus on recreational management. So I organized horse shows. I organized tournaments. I did stuff like that. So I've always been interested in the logistics of it, but getting it to come out through my fingers is a different story. When we had our twins, it was just like chaos hit the world and things just got shoved everywhere. Cause I'm a visual person. So I like to see everything, but I also kind of want it neat, but I didn't have the time to do that or even the know-how to do that. I was focused on taking care of two babies at once, and so things just kind of got shoved everywhere. And thankfully we have a very large house and I have spaces to shove things, but now I'm trying to clean out all of those spaces where I shove things.
Yeah. Well, so tell us, who lives in your household with you?
So my husband, we've been married for 18 years. And then we have 13-year-old boy-girl twins who are doing online school at the moment and maybe for the rest of the year. So we'll see how that goes.
So you kind of mentioned that transition. Obviously, you didn't have a single birth before your twins. So you went from no babies to two babies. Yes. And you'd been married 5 years. So were you working in the home, outside of the home? Were you working before you had these twins? Like, what was that year like?
Well, so when I graduated from college, I did some kind of odd jobs and then met my husband, and he's a certified financial planner, and he needed help in his office just for a little bit till he found somebody else. And 6 years later, I was pregnant with twins, still working in his office, hiring people to replace me. So I worked with him until I was probably about 7.5 or 8 months pregnant. And then I still continued to do, like, organize his business taxes as a self-employed business owner. It's very tedious. So I would kind of organize all of the paperwork and the receipts, and he would do the actual tax part of it. So that is not exactly what I envisioned my life being whenever I was younger, but I always wanted to be a mom. That's what my job wanted to be. So I've been able to do that and stay home with them. And now they're in middle school, and I find myself thinking, okay, what next?
Yeah, you are definitely in a transition period. So a couple of things, you know, you like logistics. So you're used to receipts and the predictability of what's coming in the office, and kids are just a whole different animal. Like, kids are little humans. And so there's a lot of unpredictability there and varied days, but yet the days are so similar and can be monotonous. And so if you're listening and you've never been a parent, becoming a parent is truly a world-altering experience. And from that point forward, you could be as good at logistics as you want, but your life is never truly just your own anymore. Like, you're always responsible for these other little humans, and they just impact every single day that you have going forward.
Yes. And I laugh because I say that God knew what he was doing when he gave us twins, because I mean, we had like the schedule written out every day. We wrote down when they pooped, when they peed, when they ate, everything that happened. And we did that for 2 years and they were on a great schedule, slept through the night at 8 weeks. And then, and they're just, they're best, you know, they're very, very different, but they're best buddies. And I'm a very schedule oriented person. So I have, they always know what's coming up next, and they're such great kids. They do what I ask them to do, and you know, it's been
wow. We would all like you to start a parenting podcast now, and I will go listen.
it's luck. So far, we've just hit the teenage years as of about a week and a half ago.
So. Yeah, yeah. So when you found me, the kids would have been 11.
Yes,
and so you just liked organizing, you know. Productivity, getting a little bit better. But you said a week later you went all access. So what made you decide to dive in and really get organizing? Where were you in your organizing journey at that point?
So I had done, it was the paper was the thing that was weighing on me the most. Like, my husband is very efficient in his office, and he would ask me, hey, where's this? You know, something related to the house. And I would have an anxiety panic and say, okay, give me a few minutes. Let me figure out where it is. It's here somewhere. So I wanted to get the paper under control, and everything had been in file systems and stuff, and I'm visual. So I like to see everything in front of me. So hearing that from you about being a visual learner, that, you know, that resonated with me. And you were the first person that incorporated really the household with kids and give yourself grace, you know, just do 15 minutes a day. It doesn't have to be a weekend long project to get started. So I had gone all in with, you know, like another organizing program, and it was nice to have it for reference of what to do if I got in a certain situation, but I really needed the day-to-day guidance of, okay, well, here's what you can do with your home in 15 minutes a day. Now, if you want to do some paper stuff, you know, here's some stuff that you can do. And then just the bills, and especially the Sunday basket, knowing where everything was, everything has a home. I currently have like 5 Sunday baskets sitting behind me for different purposes so that everything has a place.
Okay. No. You can't just gloss over that. So I've done the same before as well. I currently just have a couple, but there've been times when I have like 8. Now, if this is your first podcast, skip to another podcast. But if you've been listening for a while, like, explain, Melissa, how do you end up with more than one Sunday basket? What does that look like? What's in those baskets? We want to know.
So I do have a lot of paper. I mean, I purged my paper, but my kids are in I mean, my daughter alone has 5 extracurricular activities and then school. My son's a gifted and talented student and has, you know, paperwork that goes along with that and plays baseball. Managing my husband's business from the financial end, that his business has its own box. It was a work box I purchased for myself as a volunteer because I was the head of the library volunteers at school. And then I was like, well, I really need one for his office paperwork for taxes. So I incorporated that. So that's kind of my job Sunday basket. So it has my volunteer stuff and it has my, his business information. And then I have a separate Sunday basket for the kids' activities. So like volleyball schedules, horseback riding, all the information that comes in. And then their school paperwork, you know, not paperwork like their classwork, but more just information that comes home that I need to reference. That all stays in a Sunday basket. I have my holiday basket that gets transformed whenever we're not using it for the holidays. And then I have like a 2.0 Sunday basket. So all my 2.0 slash pockets, I just put them into a separate one. Like I don't need these right now, but I might need them in a little bit. So I have the one that I work on every week. And then if I can't find something or something comes up, I know that it's in my secondary Sunday basket.
Okay. So I'm very similar and I'm hesitant to tell people this because, well, you went all access in a week. So this is why I'm hesitant to tell people. So then learning how to use a Sunday basket, I mean, it is a skill. There is an art form to it. And you need to do it at least 6 weeks before you get used to it. And I find for a lot of people that once you have 2 places that you can look for something, all of a sudden it's like you have either 100 places or no places and people just give up on the system. So I often say one Sunday basket, only one Sunday basket. Yes. However, there have been many times in my life, especially when my kids were middle school aged as well, where I had as many Sunday baskets as you have and I used them exactly how you just described it. But the only way that works is if you maintain all of those different baskets. Yes. So now you have to share, how much time does it take you to maintain all of those baskets and what is your system for making sure that things don't fall through the cracks?
So every Sunday I pretty much do the Facebook Live, the Sunday Basket Club. And if I miss it, I'll do it either later that evening, watch the recording, or even on Monday. This weekend was crazy. I haven't done it yet. So I'm doing it this afternoon because I can't stand to see my planner without everything written down in it for the week. And then I just periodically go through the other ones and flip through the slash pockets and see if there's anything that I need. And I think it helps because I have so many Sunday baskets that the slash pockets are very specific. So just by looking at the slash pocket, I know if I need something that's in there. And the only one that gets things dumped into it is my current Sunday basket. And so the other ones are more kind of like almost like a file system, I guess, but I can see it. I have a Calyx system that sits behind me at my desk. And so there's a little cubby for each one. And I can tell the kids if they need to go find something, I can tell them, you know, which color Sunday basket that it's in. And then the binders are up there, which were a lifesaver for medical stuff and insurance paperwork and still getting into the household operations and the household reference binder. I've put everything, all the paperwork into it from my file cabinet, but I haven't filled everything out yet. But the best feeling was emptying my file cabinet. Whenever that didn't have any more papers in it, I was like, oh, yay.
Yeah. And I can hear people say, well, all she did was create like 6 mini filing cabinets. What's the point in that? And here's the point in it. The filing cabinet was just like stuff that you maybe would do someday or were afraid to get rid of. Or like there was no point to the filing cabinet, but you have 6 boxes. And what that tells me is you are a multi-passionate, busy woman.
Yes.
And that you are wearing at least 6 different hats. Yes. So for me, each of my boxes, they're really just beautiful piles. Like if you did not have the Sunday baskets, all that stuff would not be in your filing cabinet.
No.
All that stuff would be in different piles on your kitchen counter and your desk and in your bedroom and all mixed together. And oh my gosh, where is that paper? And I don't know where that paper is.
Yes.
So you have all these distinct roles that you're playing as your female head of household, as a support to your husband's business, as the mother of your kids, for your own personal development. Yes. And you go through all of those. And I bet you do what I do with mine also, which is about every 6 to 12 weeks, just depends on which basket it is, you probably deep dive into each of those baskets.
Yes.
So what does that look like for you?
Well, I have a lovely desk set up in the kids' former playroom now, and I just spread it all out, and I just go through it, and then I start purging and shredding what we don't need. Mm-hmm. And I find, you know, like I would have purged the school year information from last year at the end of the school year, but with the situation now, I find that we still need that information. So, you know, I'm happy that I can still hold on to it into a place where I can find it easily. And just not have the anxiety of where is that paper? Because like you said, it would have been in a pile or in some sort of fancy, you know, filing system on top of my desk. Then I wouldn't know which one it was in. I wouldn't know what to label it. I wouldn't know, you know, I love having the continuous access to people to, you can jump into the Facebook group and just say, hey, I've got these papers. I don't know what to do with them. And somebody will come up with a brilliant idea for you.
Yeah. Or, the Sunday Basket Club Facebook group is amazing. Like it is amazing. It's just a wonderful, happy place.
And it's nice to kind of test your knowledge too, because once you've been doing it for a while, then people start asking questions and you're like, oh, I know.
Yes.
I know what you should do with that.
So I think that I had the thought that when I would finally get organized, I wouldn't have any more stuff. And what has become true for me, and I believe is true for you as well, is that I actually am busier than I've ever been, but I'm more peaceful than I've ever been. Yes. And it's not that I have less stuff. It's that I know everything that I have. And it has a continual system that I go through weekly or monthly or every quarter, and it gets cleaned out and it keeps going through. And I get done so much now, so many projects. There really aren't things that wait indefinitely anymore. They get put into a queue and eventually they will get, I know that they will get done now.
Yes. And I'm a natural procrastinator. So I will put things off, especially if I don't want to do them and they intimidate me. I will my husband's taxes, I will put them off until the last possible minute and then overwhelm myself.
Me too.
But I know where I know where everything is. I feel more calm and not as anxious. I mean, I can't believe how anxiety ridden I was beforehand, just with the anticipation that my husband might ask me where something was and I wouldn't know where it was. And I'm just happy to have a system in place that helps me to find everything whenever I need it.
So when was the first time that you noticed something was organized that wasn't organized before?
The first time he asked me for a paper that he needed. And I was like, oh, I know where that is. That's in the Sunday basket. Or our water bill was suddenly $500 one month. And he was like, well, what were the past water bills? And I was like, oh, I've got them right here. And it was, that just makes me feel good. And then over the, during the pandemic this summer, I actually attacked my, hot mess room, as we call it. We have a third floor little area that is storage, and it's usually like Christmas decor. Half of it was holiday decor. The other half of it was old baby stuff. My kids are 13 and I still have baby stuff upstairs. And I do a consignment sale twice a year for where I would get rid of baby stuff and kids stuff. But there was still I just bought so much stuff whenever they were little. And I finally, it only took me probably 3 hours to go through that whole room. And I posted it on Facebook and was very proud of myself of how organized it was. And it's so easy to find stuff. And now we can walk into that space, which is great.
Yeah. You know, my kids were about the same age when I started Organize 365 that yours were when you found Organize 365 as well. And I had the same thing, like all of the baby stuff was still in the house. I couldn't believe how much stuff I actually held on to. And I think I'm pretty good at decluttering, but you hold on to all of it until your kids go to all day school. And then as soon as they go to all day school, like you get busy with your life and you kind of forget that you have all these storage areas. And I don't know why, but I think it is either middle school or when they go to college that you tend to go, oh my gosh, why do we still have all of this stuff?
Yes. And now they kind of like to look at it and everything. But
yeah.
And I found that when they went to school, I thought, oh, I'm going to have all this time during the day. Mm-hmm. Well, I quickly realized, and I think it was after listening to some of your podcasts, that I needed that time during the day for me. And it was okay for me to take a couple hours and sit on the couch and watch TV, because otherwise I'm going from 6:30 in the morning until 9 o'clock at night, whenever they go to bed, and I don't get to stop, you know, working. So I had to teach myself that it's okay to give yourself grace and sit down, put your feet up, take a rest, because it's, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they're just
for the rest of your life.
Busy, busy, busy. But then I'm going to be a double empty nester all at once. So.
Yeah, it's not really empty. I'm just you just get more nests is what I'm finding. And you just go into different nests all the time.
That's what I've enjoyed watching that lately. I'm like, oh, they do come back.
Yeah, they
My
left.
Then I'm like, oh, they came back. I'll secretly do a happy dance, but
we'll leave again. But then, I mean, I think about my parents. They came down and helped me when in my house with my yard work and moving and stuff like that. Like you'll have more nests.
Yes. And my parents, we actually moved my parents from my hometown up here to our town when the kids were about five. And so that's what the other thing I'm finding was when my husband might be like, hey, what'd you do today? I'm like, well, you know, I did this stuff for the kids, you know, did this and went over to mom and dad's house and changed some air filters. And I'm like, oh, this is what's going to start. It's going to be shifting and I'm going to be taking.
Yes. Yes.
Parents.
Yeah. Your parents' nests
are gone.
Your future kids' nests, your own nest. You're going to have more nests than you know what to do with.
And I did want to say, when you were asking, one of the questions you just asked, I had to fill out a paper for my daughter last week. She had decided, she's been doing speech therapy since fourth grade, mm-hmm. and she decided she was finished with speech therapy at school. And so I had to pull out all of this paperwork and I had to write down the first time she crawled, the first time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I know I've filled this out once before. No, you have it somewhere. But because I had everything organized, it was right here in my little system, Calyx mm-hmm. system behind me. And I was able just to pull out the records and, you know, write everything down. And I didn't have to hunt for it for 2 hours trying to find the right piece of paper.
Yeah, I remember when we would fill out school forms every year, you had to fill out like all the vaccinations, all the things. And
yes,
I remember keeping that in a slash pocket and be like, okay, beginning of the year, all right, what did I write down last year? Yeah. I know it didn't change. So I'll just write it down again. And then I learned that once the kids were like, I don't know, 10, I was like, here, you copy it from last year's form. Like,
right.
I'll check it after you copy. Why am I writing all this? It's your school.
That's where we're getting to that now, where we're mm-hmm. starting to transition some of that stuff and let them take care of that. Online school has helped a lot. They probably are learning more about how to do things online than I might know how, actually.
Yeah. Why'd you tell the school that? I didn't know you were telling the school that.
Yeah.
So what unexpected events have you experienced in the last 2 years while you've been getting organized?
We haven't had a lot. I mean, the coronavirus is probably the biggest thing. You know, we left for spring break and my birthday was that Friday. And then we thought we were going up to, we live in Texas, and we thought we were going up to Dallas to go to the amusement parks and the zoos and all of this. And my brother had called me from Oklahoma and said, you know, I was just at this Oklahoma City Thunder game. I don't think you're going anywhere. And yeah, slowly things started shutting down, and it was a great time because we are so busy that mm-hmm. we were able just to have that time at home. My daughter and I started taking our dogs on like 2 mile walks every day. And we played the board game Catan more times than I care to recount. And so we haven't had anything unexpected. Recently, my parents are older, so I've always got that in the back of my mind. Mm-hmm. We have to be very careful with them with COVID around. My daughter she anticipated going back to school in person, hopefully in October. I was kind of thinking maybe after flu season, and we had a meeting with her doctor online, and he said, I don't want her going back the rest of the year because she has asthma.
Wow.
And so she was in shock. Aww. So we're still trying to work through that and figure out, because everybody's going back to school, that of our friends that have been home, they will be going back to school in about 2 weeks, and there will just probably be a few of us that are at home. Mm-hmm. And she's very social, so she is really missing, you know, being at school, even though it would be different.
Are the kids using any of the organization that you've used or any of those boxes you talked about for you to run homeschooling? Or
not really for homeschooling, because they actually I was ready. I bought the kids planners and showed them to them, because especially my son's not naturally organized. My daughter yeah. is. And we had it all laid out, and they used it for the first couple of weeks, but they found that everything is contained within Google Classroom. So that's working well with them. We do have the kids organization program, and we started working on that this summer. Then they created their lanyard business, and that kind of took over our lives. So we have it in our back pocket, and I'm waiting for some downtime to work on that with them. We've always had a really good chore system where they get paid for some chores, they don't get paid for other chores, and they have expectations that have to be done. Like when they're at school, I consider that their job. So they have to do, clean their room and do everything on Saturday and Sunday. And then during the week, it can kind of, you know, I'm a little bit easier on them and I do their laundry. I did make them start doing their own laundry during the coronavirus. And that was like a weight lifted off of my shoulders.
They stopped changing their clothes every 5 seconds?
It was amazing. Yes. Now my daughter, I actually was folding their clothes because they're back at school. So I was doing some of their laundry and she got upset with me because I did her laundry because she likes to watch TV while she folds her laundry. So now she doesn't want me to do her laundry anymore. So I'm like, yes.
How funny is that? Okay, well, we're going to get into their lanyard business here in a minute. I want to finish up your story and then let's dive back into that. So what do you have more of now?
Time. Patience with myself.
Ooh, patience. Yes. With yourself.
With myself, because I'm an Enneagram 9. I'm a big people pleaser. Oh. Don't like to disappoint people. And I keep that stress kind of built up within myself all the time that something's going to happen and I'm not going to know, you know, I'm not going to have what I need to react to it or whatever. So
interesting.
I'm finding that I'm allowed to kind of relax a little bit more and just know that everything's where it needs to be. And also I would be with a household program with the 100-day program. I'm not doing it as much this time around, but you know, I'll look and see what's going on Facebook and what day we're on, or look at the emails and be like, okay, I think I'm good there. And I used to put pressure on myself. No, you need to do it. You know, it's not perfect. It's not, you know, beautiful, but I know I'll come back around to it again. I'm like, it's okay to let it go right now because it's going to come around in another few months and you can hit on it again. Or when I get that organizing bug and I start following my energy, like you say, I'll be like, oh, I really want to do my closet. Okay. And I'll go dig it up, you know, and say, okay, what are my steps? What am I going to do? You know, a little bit at a time so that I don't pull everything out and not want to put it back away.
Isn't it weird when you finally have time and you don't have anything to do? Like there's always stuff you can do, but there's literally nothing you have to do. Right. It is the most bizarre thing as the female head of household to have time and not have to do anything with that time.
Yes. And I've always felt like I need to be doing something. It's okay for my husband to sit, you know, after he's been at work all day, sit and relax, or my kids to kind of chill out and decompress. But I always feel like there's the house isn't perfect. There's something that I should be doing. But now I'm kind of giving myself some grace and you know what? Even if I clean it all up and make it perfect, it's going to not look that way. I'm like,
right, exactly. It's not going to stay. So what do you have less of?
What do I have less of? Anxiety and fear of that I'm forgetting something or that I had a little bit of a anxiety yesterday because I hadn't done my Sunday basket on Sunday. And I was like, oh, there's an insurance bill that's coming due and I don't remember when it is. And I know I got the email, you know, 2 weeks ago. So I panicked a little bit while I was looking for it. It's not due till November 1st. We're fine. I mean, I look at it every week. So even though I didn't get through my Sunday basket yesterday, I did pull out my money folder and I pulled out, you know, the things that I knew that I needed to glance at and just checked and made sure nothing was due immediately and set it to the side. And I knew at least if I didn't get through my whole Sunday basket this week, I'm going to hit these main ones that are going to have some, you know, consequences if I don't. But I have just less anxiety overall. I just know that things they're getting done on time. I'm not forgetting anything because usually it would be buried under some pile and I wouldn't even know it was there until it was too late.
Yeah, agreed. Is there anything you wish you knew sooner?
Well, that your system was out there, but I guess that wasn't really possible, maybe. I mean, I think it sounds like if I would have done a deep dive into, you know, systems and stuff earlier, maybe I would have found you, but I feel like I found you at the right time in my life. I think if I would have found you, you know, earlier, I wouldn't have had the time to do it. You know, even if my kids, I found you when they were in fifth grade, if I would have found you in fourth grade, my daughter had broken her leg and was in a wheelchair for, you know, 3 months.
Wow.
So that wouldn't have done me probably any good. So I feel like everything happens at the right time and
agreed.
There's a reason. So
what's your next step?
My next step is to, so I have our personal stuff organized. I got to get my husband's business. My goal for my husband's business taxes is to do a little bit every month. That's been the goal for the past 20 years. It hasn't happened yet. At least I've got the taxes done on time now and I'm not filing an extension. But that's probably the next thing, is just to have every little pocket, you know, mm-hmm. lined up just right. And figure out also, you know, the kids are 13, so figuring out, and I've kind of started to figure it out a little bit, but figuring out what I'm going to do whenever they're not in the house anymore. My husband actually asked me that question a couple months ago, and it's after I listened to one of your podcasts about it. And I was like, yeah, I don't want to talk about that right now, but I'm figuring it out.
You've got some time.
Yeah.
I mean, they're only 13.
But it's going to come.
I know it will. It will come faster. I will tell you, I'm going to come out with a product that's going to help you with those taxes. And by the time people are listening to this, it's probably coming out. It's coming out the first week in November. Yay. It's an income and expense binder. And it literally has a tab for a slash pocket for every single month.
Oh, so yay.
Put the stuff in there and do it every month. Yes.
Okay. Because I have a file system, you know, one of those collapsible ones where I'm supposed, where actually the ladies at his office put the stuff in and I go pick it up and then it sits here.
Yep. They could just have their monthly slash pocket. He could bring it home at the end of the month. And then we give you the income, the expense forms that are based on the Schedule C for the tax returns. Perfect. You actually categorize them based on US IRS standards. And
yay.
Just do it monthly. And then at the end, you'll just have this whole binder and it'll go right with your tax returns and you'll be done.
That is what I do with her. I give her a binder and say, here you go. And it's done by type and stuff. But
yay.
Great. I'm always excited when you hint about something new coming out. I'm like, ooh, what am I going to get next? I'm usually one of the first ones to jump on the bandwagon.
And I like that, Melissa. I like that a lot, I will say. What advice would you give to someone who's just starting out?
Give yourself grace.
You said that a couple times. I love that.
If you can go all access, do it. But I mean, not everybody is in the position where they can do that.
Right.
So it depends on if your paperwork is holding you down, or if it's your house clutter that's holding you down, either do the 100-day or the Sunday basket leading into the binders. And I did my favorite really that you do is the planning day. I do every planning day, and I did a paper organizing retreat the day after planning day.
Oh, good for you.
And that's when I got my binders done. Just because I just needed just the 3 hours to sit there and have that time dedicated. And I told the kids, hey, you can come in if you need to, but you know, try to give mom some time. And they did. And I just powered through it and got it done.
What does your husband have to say about all this?
He doesn't really know the details about it, believe it or not. I just told him when I decided, I remember I was up on our third floor and I was wrapping Christmas presents when I decided and I was listening to your podcast and I was like, I'm going all access. I have to do it because I can't do one little part of it knowing that there's this other stuff out there that I'm going to love.
That's how I am.
So I went all access and then I came downstairs and I told him, I said, hey, you don't need to buy me a Christmas present this year because I just bought it. I said, it's another organizing system. And he was like, oh, okay. Good job, honey. But he knows, I think he knows that this one's working. So he asked me for his medical records recently. He's like, hey, you don't have this from, do you? And I was like, yes, I do. And here's the binder with all of your medical records in it. So what do you need to know?
Was he surprised?
I think so. I mean,
it's hard to get a reaction out of some of our men.
Yes. And he's so focused into his business during the day that when he comes home and the only time it affects him really is if I can't find something that I need to find. And then then he's got to do some work on his end to try to, you know, help me out. But, you know, I've always just tried to support him and, you know, his business. And then he gives me the freedom to do whatever I want to do around the house. He just has his little area in the laundry room where I put stuff and his little area in the living room where I put stuff. And the rest of the house is it's ours to do with as we want. He's like, what's this new thing sitting? You know, he doesn't even notice when I rearrange the furniture. So.
Oh, it's funny. Greg always says, you're an organizer, right? Our house needs to be more organized. I'm like, Greg, it is organized, but I think he has that Pinterest mindset and he says, really, this is organized? I'm like, yeah, this is organized. So in case you guys are wondering, I'm getting it from my husband.
One thing that I learned, because I am so visual, and we have a lot of stuff in our house, and his mother mentioned to me once, I think his sister said, you know, how was the house after she had a kid? She said, how was the house always so clean when we were little? She said, oh, I stayed up after you went to bed and I cleaned it up, and but y'all never saw me doing that. And I think that might have not been the wisest choice. You need to see your parents, you know, doing that stuff, not you wake up in the morning and it's just magically done. So that Greg's gave me a lot of grace also.
Greg's mom told me the same thing. Joey and Abby were little and I have laundry everywhere, toys everywhere. And she's sitting in the chair, like on the edge, just kind of looking at this, like, what is going on here? I said, well, I'm sure your house looked like this too, right, Jean? She goes, no. Never. I was like, we used to watch Everybody Loves Raymond, and I feel like, no, never. And I was like, you know what? I don't know what to tell you. I'm running a business. I got two babies. We got these things. Like, okay, well, great. So didn't meet that expectation. Moving on.
Yes. My mother-in-law is amazing. She just left this morning, and she came down for the belated birthday celebration, and my daughter was in her first rodeo this past weekend.
Oh,
so she
fun.
Came down to see that. And
well, speaking about the kids, let's talk about the kids.
Okay.
So what did your kids do this summer?
So this summer we were, you know, contained in the house, and we actually, in July, my son plays baseball. So his baseball season got cut short, and volleyball season also got cut short. Volleyball did not get to start back up, but baseball in Texas, we were able to start playing again in kind of the end of June. And so we did some tournaments in July. And we were at those tournaments. We had, that's when everybody just started wearing face masks out in public. Nobody knew what they were doing.
Yes. Some people still don't know what they're doing.
So the rule was you had to wear the face mask into the park until you got to your field. And then you, once you were around your people, you could take it off. And so I remember taking it off and shoving it in my pocket and, or setting it down on the bleachers and probably everything. We didn't know about, you know, wearing it like a bracelet. We hadn't figured that stuff out yet. And we just started, my daughter and I started talking about it, and I was like, there's gotta be something, you know, better for this. And I had actually been on a Hallmark website looking for a cute little face mask, and I saw that they had this black lanyard, and I was like, what? And then it just kind of sat with us, and we started talking about it, and we came up with, which are, they're now, a lot of people are making them. They're, beaded. My daughter started making beaded lanyards. And so she would put people's names on them and even a charm, and we would, you know, just ask what color they wanted. And so they're just made out of like little glass beads, and she makes those completely by herself. And then my son was kind of like, well, I don't want to wear a beaded lanyard.
Yeah.
So we did a lot more research and discovered that we could make one out of paracord. And so it's more kind of an athletic look, and ended up adding a kind of a cord lock onto the end of it so that it can also become an ear saver, to where it pulls the elastic off of your ears. He had a mask that somebody had made for him, and since he's kind of in the in-between stages of adult and child, it was a little loose. The bands were a little loose.
Yeah.
The loops. And so he liked that he could, you know, tighten it up that way. So we just posted it on Facebook one Saturday morning and said, hey, you know, Allie started making these beaded lanyards for your face mask, and showed them a picture of what it was, and everybody was like, oh my gosh, that's a great idea. So it kind of took off just making it for friends and family. And then Brady started making his paracord ones, and those took off to kind of a whole different demographic is interested in the paracord ones. And we had to come out with, I mean, the kids had to sit down and figure out unit cost for every piece that we were using. And Dad's a financial planner, so he got to review everything. And my son is a very big math brain. So he was like, no, you know, we need to sell them for this much, and it's going to give us this much profit, you know, and he was able to kind of figure out buying them in bulk and everything. And so we came out with price lists, and we started selling them on Facebook, and then we started selling them on Etsy. And it's just been pretty, you know, amazing watching them learn. We had to figure out, we don't know anything. I'm not a salesperson. So we had to figure out, you know, I'm not the best advertiser out there, but we had to figure out how are we going to ship these, because we had an order from Maryland. We've shipped them to Connecticut and Kentucky and California. And we've had to just figure out every little process. We had a, like, I like to say, a supply chain issue because we couldn't find our hardware we needed at Michael's one time. And I was like, oh no, what are we going to do? But,
so do you get really all these supplies at Michael's?
The paracord the paracord you order online.
Okay.
So I order it online and then we attach the ends to them.
I see that.
Yeah, I have to do the metal piece because it's hard to get it on there. And then the kids can do the rings and the clasps. And then my son, I don't even know really. I have to ask my son. I'm like, what's the measurement on the paracord? Like, if he's doing schoolwork and somebody needs one, I'm like, I don't even know. We need to write this down. What's the measurement?
Do you need better systems and processes for your little corporation?
I do.
And so they're doing schoolwork and you're fulfilling orders?
Yeah, sometimes. we have one we're fulfilling today for a soccer team. Somebody's buying 11 of them for their soccer team. And I'm waiting for Amazon to drop off the beads that we need. So yeah, they make them and we have like little order forms where I write down what we're making. And so they get all the supplies together and they make them in the living room and then give them back to me in this little box. And then I get them ready for shipping. And, you know, I'm doing the corresponding with the customers, of course. Well, and we have a spreadsheet.
When you get them, you even get this business card that has a little QR code on it.
Yeah. So you can scan the QR code and it takes you to our Etsy shop. So that's something that I learned volunteering in the elementary school library. The librarian taught me how to do that once upon a time.
The QR code or the Etsy shop?
The QR code.
Well, we are adding QR codes. Our catalogs are being redone beginning in November. And we're adding QR codes on almost every single page. So you can just scan in the catalog and go right to the website page.
Oh, that's
QR codes are making a huge comeback because when you go out, you use them to get menus or to get whatever. All the old technology is coming back again.
I know. So yeah, we were just trying to figure out a way to really thank people for whenever they place an order. And the reason Allie started doing this was she's just started leasing a horse and mommy's not buying her a horse. So she has to pay $250 a month to lease this horse that she wants to lease. And so this has become her little, you know, income generator along with doing jobs around the house. She would rather make lanyards than do laundry and, you know, help cook dinner and take the trash out.
And what is Brady using his money for?
Brady is a saver. So he currently doesn't like to spend his money. So anytime he gets birthday money or anything, I say, what are you going to do? And he's like, I'm not quite sure yet. He's like his daddy. So he's figuring out what investments he's going to be making.
The next Warren Buffett.
Yes. And he just kind of, you know, he pays
his
sister.
This was my lanyard money. And this was this money. And now I'm a billionaire. Yes.
He is also paying his sister $5 for her to fold his laundry because he doesn't want to fold it.
Sounds like Joey. He's like, Abby, will you go get this? I'll pay you. She's like, okay, yes.
We're like, well, go for it. If you can get somebody to do it.
And how many lanyards are they making a week? Like
they made their, the number right now is probably at 160 lanyards since
a week?
August. No, since August 8th. So as of August 8th was when they started, and as of a month, they had made 100 lanyards. So we did like a little giveaway for their 100th. Whoever ordered the 100th lanyard got it for free. So business has slowed down a little bit because everybody in our community, you know, gotten a little older. And there were some other kids that were making some, but they've been making the beaded ones, not really the paracord ones. Now it's mainly, we're getting a lot from Etsy and from Facebook. My son and I decided, since he's the financial mind, we did a Facebook ad for 5 days to see what would happen. And I was like, okay, so it's $5 a day, you know, for 5 days. Is that what you want to do? And he was like, yeah, I think so. We've had a couple of orders off of that. So, but a lot of likes on the Facebook page. So
you're doing better than a lot of ad companies are with your $25 budget. I will tell you, that's not normally profitable at all.
And we carry them. It's funny. I carry them around actually in my portable Sunday basket. So I have a portable Sunday basket and now it's my lanyard basket because I keep all the paperwork in it. And then I have these little boxes that have some that my daughter's already made and I keep them in there in case we're out and about and anybody's like, oh, where'd you get that lanyard? We could say, well,
we happen to have them right here.
We have some right here.
How fun. Now, when we were talking back in the spring, not you and I, but we on the podcast, you know, yes. You, me, and everybody else who's listening, we were all talking about this. And I was saying that, and I know most people did not decide to take a year off and homeschool your kids, the public schools, and everybody figured it all out. But this is exactly what I'm talking about. When else in your child's life would you have thought that you would have had enough time that they would have wanted to do something like this with you? And you would have had the time and not worried about it. And, you know, I mean, it's a really fun project that you guys got to do. And the kids are making money and they're learning things that are going to take them into the future. I could tell you right now, any of your friends who are business owners are probably wondering how you're getting Facebook ads to work. How'd you get the QR code? How'd you get to Etsy? How'd you do fulfillment? How'd you do, you know, I mean, that's what all businesses right now are refiguring out how they're going to market. I know one of the things that we are going to start doing is direct mail. Like we're going to add direct mail. For certain, you'll get one, Melissa, because you're in all access. But we're going to do a save the date for Embrace, and we're going to mail it out to anybody who's been to Embrace before, who is in all access. Like it makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Goes in your Sunday basket. I would have never thought to do that if I wasn't thinking about all of the ways that marketing work or adding the QR codes into our catalog. It's going to make our catalog so much better. We were putting URLs on every single page. If you have a catalog, go look at it. Plus, it just makes sense. Like, you have a Sunday basket, likely, if you're getting anything from us. Yes. So just drop it in the Sunday basket. It's a reminder of what to do with Organize 365. Like all of the old marketing is going to come back again because we're all at home. And it's just fun to play around with this stuff. So if you have teenagers at home and they are bored, have them figure out some little virtual lemonade stand is essentially what your kids did.
Yes. And they actually, the summer before this happened, we live on a road to a lake. And so at the end of May, everybody'd been cooped up in their house for so long. They set up a concession stand outside on our road and were selling. I mean, he figured out unit cost of all of the sodas and the chips and everything. And they made, you know, a pretty good sum of money the first weekend that they did it. And continuously they made a little bit of money. It dropped off, you know, as the summer went on, but my husband is an entrepreneur. And so we've always talked about working for yourself versus working for somebody else. I worked for a computer company for, you know, a couple of years before I started working with my husband, and the benefits of working for yourself and how hard it is. And so my son has always been trying to find a way to make some passive income, as he says. He wants chickens, and I won't let him get chickens. We have two hunting dogs, so chickens would not be a good combination. But he's like, yeah, if I had chickens and they can lay eggs and then I can sell the eggs and I don't really have to do, you know, he's always trying to figure the next thing out. And so they had the concession stand business going, and then they had the lanyards coming. So I know the lanyard business isn't going to last forever. We're not all going to be in masks, but there'll always be a percentage of the population that could use it. And we've just tried to make ours different from once we saw that there were some on Etsy. We've tried to make, and the word's kind of gotten out and people have started making them, you know, how can we make ours stand out? Well, we can personalize them. You tell us exactly what you want and we'll do it. And we had a gentleman from Kentucky who had ordered one lanyard from us. And then he reached back out to me and he said, I like the lanyard that you sent me, but I'm wondering if you could do this. Could you make it, you know, this many inches long? And could you use a bigger clasp on the end instead of smaller? I know it would cost a little bit more money maybe for the supply. So, you know, I'm willing to pay you more for it. So we were able to do that. And my son came in and, you know, I was like, okay, how much are we going to charge him? Because, you know, this is how much the new clips cost. And I let him figure it out. And then after it was done, we ran it by dad to make sure that everything lined up. And, so they've been having to get creative and doing that. With school taking place, I've kind of, you know, I'm doing a lot.
You become a lanyard maker.
I can make a lanyard. I still haven't made a beaded one, so.
Yeah, these are pretty intricate. But I will say that I went mask shopping last week, and I bought 16 masks. And the reason why is because as an employer in the state of Ohio, like, the governor sent me masks. Like I had these white masks. So I'd wear them all the time. What do I care? I just put the white mask on. Doesn't look great. And then an awesome Organize 365 person sent me a blue one that has the Organize 365 on it. My car company sent me one. These are the masks I've been using, whatever people had given me. My bookkeeper gave me two. One is hilarious. It's a big smile. And then the other one is just really pretty. But none of them matched any of my clothing. I said, look, if this is going to be the next 6 months, 6 years, 6 years, whatever, it's time to up the game. So I went to Old Navy. I got some from Ever Eve. I got some somewhere else. Like I have them now. They don't perfectly match my outfits yet, but they're getting closer. And today I have black on today, and I had a nice new black mask. And Joy goes, "Ooh, where'd you get that mask?" I said, "Ever Eve." He goes, "I want one." I said, "It's a lady store." He goes, "I don't care. It looks good." And I said, "Well, I'm trying to match my outfits now." He goes, "I always match my outfits." Because he always wears black. He's so funny. He took the black one the car company sent me, and he now has it. It is like, so I agree with you that this is a limited business that your kids are in. However, as long as I need to wear a mask, now I'm ready to up my mask game. I'm not wearing the free ones anymore. I actually invested quite a bit of money this week on getting some masks that fit me better. Like the Old Navy ones are adjustable. I like that. Yeah. I like this lanyard you guys sent me with the adjustable one, because the smiley face one is too tight on my ears, mm-hmm. and I want to pull that off. So I never wear it. Of course, it smushes my nose, so I don't wear that one very often. But when I do, it gets the intended response. I mean, people just bust out laughing. I think we need more of these funny masks. Of course, we're going into the holidays. Where are the little Halloween ones? Yeah. Where are the holiday ones? Where's going to be the Frozen one for the wintertime? Or like, we need, if we have to wear them, let's have it be fun. We're a capitalist society. People capitalize.
Yes. And it's funny because I've said how my son is very into the financial end of it. And my mm-hmm. daughter's not a finance person. She, when we're out and about, she's like, we'll walk out of the store and we're in the parking lot. She's like, "Oh mom, take your mask off. They need to see that the lanyard is hanging the mask around our neck." And then we'll be walking around. She's like, "How does that person not have a lanyard? How do they not know about this? They need to have one. Why are they carrying it on their wrist?"
I cannot wait to hear where your kids are 10 years from now. I'll be like, this is the future founder of Google and Amazon in this same house. So anyway, well, that's my alarm. I have to go. Do I get to see the kids? We want to take a picture so we can put it on Instagram.
Let me go grab them real quick.
Okay, I will stop the podcast here. Okay. You guys will have to go check out Instagram to see a picture of the kids. Hope you guys have a great week. Are you loving these new podcasts? Oh my gosh, I could talk to you guys forever. And I love talking to you actually in person. If you have a story and you would love to share it on the podcast, just go to organize365.com/Wednesday to apply.